This morning, as we get into God's Word today, I want to speak a message called The Attitude of Gratitude. It's Thanksgiving this coming Thursday. We all know that. Many of our church family has already started their travels and are all around the country back with their families. But we're here, and we need to enter into this holiday season with Thanksgiving. It's an easy holiday to kind of just blow through. I don't know about you. I am not even close to being ready. Anybody else with me? The holiday season. Last year, it seemed like I wasn't ready. This year, it seems like I'm even beyond that not ready. It comes on you so fast, and you can kind of just take an attitude of, can we just get through it? Versus really embracing the moment and being present. I want you to read with me a passage of scripture. It's Psalm 100. It's the entire Psalm. And I want you to read it with me. It's powerful. It's true. It's God's word. Let's all say it together, shall we? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's a powerful Thanksgiving psalm, isn't it? When you read through that, can you see the cause and effect in that psalm? Notice the operative words in regard to our behavior. Look at that psalm. Shout for joy. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. That's the effect that we're to walk into. That's joyful. That's thanksgiving. That's praise. That's glory. If you're a guest with us today and you've come into the service and it's maybe not anything like you are used to, or what you thought church was going to be like. You say, how come the pastor doesn't wear those special clothes? And how come there's that band and the people are not somber? Well, because of this psalm. We're to come before the Lord with joyful songs. We're to come with shouts of joy. How many people shout louder at the sports game on TV than we do in church? Now, it's not means we have to all of a sudden come in here and get weird. And we get that, but there is a joy that comes out. Well, why does that joy come out of us? Why are we thankful people? Why do we come into his courts with praise and honor him? Because there's five operative statements as to why we respond that way. The Lord is God. He made us. We are his. He is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I said five. That's six things. Those are powerful things, aren't they? That's why we do what we do. That's why we respond the way we respond. He's God. He made us. We're his. He's good. His love endures. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's something to be thankful about. Those attributes of God. Now, in about 10, 15-ish minutes, I'm going to ask you, we're going to have a little bit of a different Sunday morning message today. It's going to be very audience participation. And if you've been in church a long time, like decades, you might remember when in church there used to be testimony time. Anybody remember testimony time? Okay. When people would just stand up and they'd say, this is what God's doing in my life. This is how God's working. And you know what? I kind of miss those days because we don't often hear how God is working in somebody else's life. And when we start to hear that, we realize, man, God is moving a lot more than I thought he was. Because maybe you're in a little bit of a dry spell. Maybe you haven't seen the hand of God move in tremendous power lately. But you hear from some other people, and you wait, he is moving. He is doing things. He is healing. He is touching. He is saving. So I'm prompting you ahead of time, because when the time comes, then you won't be caught off guard and you'll be prepared. Okay, to step out and encourage the rest of us with your testimony. But let's jump into the outline. Why is Thanksgiving so important? Why is Thanksgiving so important? Number one, Thanksgiving focuses on what you have instead of what you don't have. Thanksgiving focuses on what you have instead of what you don't have. People who are not thankful are always thinking about what others have and they don't. Therefore, it keeps them from being thankful about what they have because they wish they had somebody else's stuff. They complain about the minuses instead of the pluses. They see the abundance in somebody else's yard. And regardless of the abundance of theirs, they're dissatisfied with it because they want what's in somebody else's yard. Thankful people, they think of what they have instead of what they don't have. Growing up, I was really into sports and I had a friend who ran track and he was really good at it. Really fast. And in the district, you had to place in the league, you had to place in the top two in league in order to make it on toward the district. And only the top two in each league got to go to the big final competition. And he trained and he trained and he trained. And this guy was always up in the morning. He stayed up late when all of us went home after school. He was out training and he ran the 440 hurdles. And so he trained and he was second in league with his time. But when it came to the league meet, one other guy just outstretched him at the tape and he came in third. And he didn't make the district final tournament. And he was so ticked. He was just bummed and just frustrated and just he was complaining. And one of our other friends in their group kind of stopped the whole process and says, "You know what? I know you didn't make it, but man, I just wish I could run half as fast as you." And in that moment, it put things in perspective. That yes, there was a disappointment. And life has disappointments, right? They happen. They're real. But the other guy thought, you know, I'd just be thankful to run a little bit like you do. When we're thankful, we see what we have instead of what we don't have. I love watching the pictures of the Paralympians. It's amazing that the Paralympic Games always follow the Olympics, and they don't get near the coverage or near the air player interest. But I'll tune in and I'll watch these people playing wheelchair basketball. And I see people who are running with prosthetic legs. And those people are inspiring me because what they're saying to the world is, I'm not so concerned about what I don't have. I'm concerned about what I still do have. And they give it their all. And they fight and they compete and it gives them life and it gives them purpose. It's powerful because negativity weighs your heart down, doesn't it? Being negative is just like a weight and it drags you deep into some really unhealthy spiritual places. It colors your attitude. It blinds you. Negativity blinds you to the world around you. All you can see is what's wrong with the world instead of the blessings that God has given you. So thankfulness focuses on what you have instead of what you don't have. Number two, thankfulness causes you to embrace the blessing instead of the pain. Thankfulness causes you to embrace the blessing instead of the pain. Thankfulness is a choice to see the good and the God in all things. Let me say that again. Thankfulness causes you to look and to see the good and the God in all things. And let me guarantee you that it's there. Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good. Not that all things are good, but all things work together for good when we trust God and because we love Him. Hard times do come. And sometimes it's really hard to be thankful. It just is. Let's be real about it. Sometimes it is hard to be thankful. I had a conversation with Dave Searles. Some of you know Dave. Some of you don't know Dave. Dave and his wife, Deb, worshiped at this church for many, many, many years. Dear, dear brother and sister. And I called him on the phone after the fire in Paradise occurred because he lives in Paradise. And he told me the story about how at about 8:30 that morning when the fire struck, he and Deb were fast asleep in the house, cozy because they're retired. And what else? Why not? Until the bang on the door happened and a neighbor was there and said, "We got to get out." What? Are you kidding me? Just out of the morning relaxation and slowness and comfort of life, suddenly life is not the same. And they managed to escape with a vehicle, with their animals, and the clothing that they had. Everything else is lost. Their home, fifth wheel trailer, motorcycle, everything else in the house. And as I talked to David on the phone, he was obviously disappointed. It was obvious, these things are not good. But out of his voice was thankfulness. I'm thankful my neighbor woke us up. I'm thankful I'm still here. I'm thankful my wife is with me. I'm thankful for what we do have, and we're looking forward to moving on. That's what people of God do. Things are tough sometimes, but thankfulness looks at the blessing instead of the pain. Thankfulness always sees that there's a God moment. There's a good thing, no matter what's there. I remember coming home after hard days at work. Pastors have hard days at work sometimes. People get mad at you when you have to make decisions. People get mad at you when you have to have a confrontation. Feels kind of a drag after when you support into people's lives and someone says, you know, we're just not digging what's going on here. We're going to leave. Some days you go home. And on those days, you just go home and it's frustrating. And I would go home and I'd see my wife and kids. And immediately perspective came into the world. I'd get on the floor, I'd wrestle with the kids, and we'd laugh and we would giggle. And there was a blessing. And that always kept me rooted and grounded to have the family there. That no matter what else happened, those are the people. Do we take time to look at the blessing instead of the pain sometimes? Not diminishing the pain. The pain is still real. But God is still God. And he's not taking a vacation on you. He's not somewhere else. He's not somehow missed you and overlooked you. He's still there. And he's still very present. So thankfulness focuses on what you have, not what you don't have. Thankfulness focuses on the blessing instead of the pain. And number three, thankfulness causes you to evaluate every situation. When you're thankful, you look for it. You're watching. It changes your perspective. Things happen and a thankful person immediately says, okay, this is not good. This is not fun. This is not comfortable. But what else is going on? What else is there? And it causes you to evaluate every situation. It changes your perspective. There's an old story about a man who was driving up a windy country road and a mountainous road, rather. And he's driving up the road, and around the corner on a blind corner, another driver comes careening around the corner at more than the speed limit. And as he comes around the corner in his own lane, he swerves just in time to miss him. And as he passes, the driver coming down the road leans out and says, "Pig!" And the driver was insulted going up the hill. And he says, "So do you," or "Same to you," which is maybe an appropriate response. But he went around the corner and he crashed right into the pig that was in the middle of the road. Sometimes our perspective is a little bit wrong, right? Sometimes we see things in the way we want to see them and the way our emotions want to see them, but it's not the right perspective. Thankfulness causes us to evaluate every situation. Because there's always something there. There's always God working in that situation. I'll never forget the story. And many of you have heard the stories of the Ten Boom sisters. They were prisoners in the Ravensbrück concentration camp during the Second World War. Christian family, most of the family lost their lives when the Nazis came through. They weren't Jewish, but they had hidden Jewish people. And because they had hidden Jewish people, they were taken into the prison camps. And Corey and her sister Betsy, Christian women, were living, surviving in the Ravensbrück concentration camp. And one of the difficulties of living in that camp is that they would put all the people, the women, in these small little barracks where they just had barely shoulder-to-shoulder room to sleep in. Little small barracks with dozens of people in those barracks, and it was cramped and it was filthy and it was dirty. But one of the worst things they remembered is the fleas. That the fleas were unbearable. It was a complete infestation of fleas. And they would just be so frustrated and so just annoyed and agonizing with the constant fleas. You couldn't rest. You couldn't stop the biting and the itching. And just, it was horrible. But then they saw that as the Tim Boone sisters would try to minister to the other ladies, and they'd try to hold Bible studies and prayer meetings, which were illegal. They were forbidden. The guards would come in and disrupt them if they did, or worse. What they found out is that because of the fleas, the guards would not come into the barracks. So because of the fleas, they could have freedom to worship, freedom to pray, freedom to have Bible study, freedom to talk about the Lord. And they began to praise God for the fleas. You see, we can evaluate every situation. There's always something to be thankful for, no matter where we are, no matter how hard it is, no matter how frustrating or how painful it is. So I'm going to review, why is Thanksgiving important? Because it causes you to focus on what you have, not what you don't have. It causes you to focus on the blessing, not the pain. And it causes you to evaluate every situation. Well, what are two principles? This is back to the Psalm chapter 100. What are the principles? What we know about God impacts our attitude. Okay, what we know about God, whether it's a hard time, whether it's painful, whether it's not easy, we know some things about God. And that should direct and that should guide our attitude about everything. Let's go through these again. We've already touched on them first. The Lord is God. What does that mean, the Lord is God? It means He's all powerful, right? He's not lost control. No matter if you're happy or upset about the current status of our national politics or how we relate to the rest of the world. Listen, God is still in control. He's God. The Lord is God. He's all powerful. He's all authority. His plan is still intact. Nothing any man or woman does on this planet is going to cause His plan to somehow get derailed. God's word is true. And His word will come to fruition. And we will live and reign with Him forever and ever and ever. This is a temporary situation we're in on this earth. It will end and we'll be with God forever. He's God. Now, if He's God, that raises some questions. What if He's God and what if He doesn't like us? If He's all powerful and doesn't like us, that's a problem. But it says He made us. And we are His people. Any parents in the room? How do you feel about your kids? You'd die for them, wouldn't you? You'd give everything for them. It's an amazing transition when that little person is born for the first time and there's this overwhelming, uncontrollable, mysterious, where did that come from, love. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to work it up. It's just there. It's God. He placed it in parents. God did that. He put that in us so that we would catch a glimpse of how He feels about us. We are His. He made us. So God is the Lord is God, and He loves us, parents, like you love your kids, but multiply it by an infinite amount of time or an infinite amount of measure. That's the God that we serve, and that's the God who we belong to. It says He is good. It doesn't do us any good at all if God is powerful and God made us, if He's mad at us, or if He has some kind of a nasty streak toward us. He doesn't have favorites. There's nobody here that's His favorite beyond somebody else. He's not fickle. He's not vindictive. And by all means, He's not sick of you. How many times have I sinned? And how many times have I had to go back to God and beg Him to forgive me? He's got to be sick of me by now. He's not. He's not. He wants you to change. He will discipline you like a father. But He loves you. He is so just, He stretched out His arms and said, I love you this much. And He died on the cross. His love endures forever, the scripture says. It endures forever. And when I hear that word endure, to me it denotes patience. And that's what His love is. God's love has to endure with me. Anybody else feel that? Some people it may be easy to love, but I know with me He has to endure. But His love doesn't change. His love endures beyond us, farther than us, no matter where we're at, forever. And His faithfulness extends beyond generations. I don't ever have to worry that my kids aren't going to be well taken care of. As long as they follow Jesus, his love will endure forever and his faithfulness will be with them. God loves them more than I do. The next generation, the next generation, and the next generation. That's who he is. So because of that, then, if my attitude can be focused there, not on what I don't have, not on what I want, not on what I'm going through, but on who God is. That's the root of our thankfulness. Because our circumstances will go all over the place. Happiness will change. The Bible never says a Christian will be happy all the time. But the Bible does say rejoice always. And there's a big difference between happiness and joy. Because of that, number two, the right attitude produces a joyful life. The right attitude about God. The Lord is God. He made us. We belong to him. He is good. His love endures forever. His faithfulness extends beyond generations. If I focus there, then that causes me to reply with the right attitude. And that right attitude is shout for joy. Now, you may not shout every day when you wake up in the morning. You may not be shouting for joy in the car as you're on your way to work. You may not be shouting in your office while you're at work. You may not be shouting for joy when you're in your school classes. But your spirit can sure shout. Your spirit can be bubbling over with joy. And the day might be cruddy. Because it's not about the day. It's about who God is. And because of who God is, our spirit can shout for joy. We can worship with gladness all the time. Doesn't mean we're in a worshipful situation all the time, but we can praise God no matter what because of who he is and how his love endures. We can sing joyful songs and enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. We get to come here and we don't have to fear. Whoops. Oh, sorry. Fix my monitor. Would you mend? Things went nuts there for a second. Sorry. We don't have to fear what's going to happen in our congregation. We don't have to fear what's going to happen to us in our homes. There may be a day when that might happen, but today we're secure. Today we get to worship in freedom. Today we get to make choices to give God glory because he's good and we can give thanks all the time. What do you have to be thankful for? I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for this great church. I'm thankful for my wife and my children and now their spouses and my grandson. I'm thankful that we're debt-free. I'm thankful that we have a body that supports each other and loves each other. I'm thankful for just all the blessings God has given us. So many things to be thankful for. I want to ask you this morning, what are you thankful for? And now's your cue. We have four microphones stationed. And please don't just stand up and say, well, I'm loud enough. They'll hear me. They won't hear you. Okay. Take no more than about 60 or 90 seconds. Okay? I'll have to be ruthless because we can't go on forever. But we need to thank the Lord. Amen? We need to do this. It's an exercise that's important so that we can hear the stories of what God is doing. And when I hear your story, I get uplifted. I say, yes, God is good. Yes, God is faithful. His love does endure forever. So somebody step out and get us started. Let's not have to prime the pump too much. Come to a microphone and say, this is what I'm thankful for and God is good. Okay, there's a race. Martin got there first. Steve got there second.
You can go, Steve.
Because I'm older?
Nope, because you're wiser.
Thank you, Martin. We were talking about this just last night at dinner. I'm thankful for my family. And that includes all of you as well, my biological family and my church family. And what I'm thankful for, and I've come to realize this in the last several years, is the next generation. I look around at this church body, and I see Kimmy and Steve Gullickson and Keani serving as the second generation of the family that I met in 2001. I look at my own family and what they're doing. I look at your families. I look at these kids in the morning lined up here. If you sit in the back, you don't get to see this, but they're praising the Lord. They're raising their hands. There's one of them that's so animated. I won't tell you who he is. He's the son of the worship pastor. It's just so much fun to watch this kid praise the Lord. Sean, I don't know how you concentrate on what you do, but watching your son praise the Lord is just a blessing. And then to watch them stand up and start the service reading from a word. I'm blessed and thankful for that, and I think we as a body should be as well.
Amen. God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord.
So I got two things. We got to raise this for taller people here. I got two things. So the first one is I, every week, am blessed by the worship team. I love the music of our church, and Sean and the worship leaders and all of you guys that are up there, I am so thankful for you guys. But secondly, a couple years back in our Christmas time devotional, I wrote a little blurb. Eric, I'm thinking of you, dude. And in it, I talked about being grateful for being faithful and giving God my finances and our family's finances. And this is about the same time that our youngest, God blessed us with three kids, the third of those three kids decided that she's going to go to the most expensive school that she can enroll in that offers no merit aid. And I am so happy to be able to say today that God has provided everything that we've needed in our lives. And we are able to not only pay for school, next month will be the last of the big payments,
yeah.
But we are also going to treat my wife to a kitchen makeover with the extra from what God has given us. So I am thankful, and God is faithful.
Nice. Dinner at the Jennings house. Look forward to that kitchen opening. Yeah, Nancy, go ahead.
I know I'm short. Bend it down. Okay. I'm Nancy. It's just a miracle that I'm even standing here. I am so grateful for everybody in this church. I accepted the Holy Spirit 2 months ago and started going to Claudia's class. And 2 weeks ago, I had a very dramatic healing, physical healing of a disease that I have for 20 years. And, I just was, Vaughn was the one who had the Holy Spirit go through her, and I was just screaming. She knew. I couldn't believe. She could touch any part of my body, but she knew. And it wasn't the physical healing that was dramatic. It was the emotional healing of letting the fear go that I had of what the Holy Spirit was going to do. And that was more important than the physical healing. I have no fear anymore of, oh my God, I'm speaking to you. This is a miracle right there. I can't believe it. So, thank you.
Awesome, Nancy. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his healing touch. Amen. That's awesome. Amy.
Hi. So I'm going to share, I'll try to make it brief, a little thing I'm thankful for about our cell group. So we recently had somebody join us who I don't think any of you've met because I'm not sure if she's actually been in church before. But she accidentally turned into our parking lot trying to get to Whole Foods and said, I never realized there was a church here. And this is also a thankfulness for our worship team. She came in on Thursday night, apparently heard people worshiping, and she's not a believer, but she described it as, I felt the presence of God. They told her there was no service tonight, but gave her a group in common, and she called Julius Monday and said, when and where does your group meet? And he thought she had been to church, and we didn't even realize until she showed up at our house that she'd never been to church before. And she introduced herself, and Julius asked if she was a Christian, and she said, not yet. But she has been coming faithfully to our group for about a month now, so we're just excited to see how God is bringing people in and using every aspect of the church to minister. And then a quick one, I will not go into details, but our group is very thankful for answered prayer for jobs. We've had about four people in the last few months who needed jobs either because the companies were closing, the contracts ended, various things, either just that God was speaking to them about moving on, and every one of them, their prayer has been answered, and they have a new job.
So. Awesome. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. Praise his name. That's so good. Yeah, Rainey.
I'm thankful for a God that answers prayer. And this Thanksgiving, many of you will be spending time with people who may not have accepted the Lord. But through my life, I know that God answers prayer. And if we keep praying for them and we love them and we don't give up on them, even as we get older, they'll accept the Lord. My brother accepted the Lord. My sister's now attending a church on Wednesday night to get fed. My grandson is in a Bible study in the place that he's at right now. And I know that God answers prayer. So do not give up on those family members that are not saved. Amen. Bring them to your knees and pray for them, because God's request is for us to be available to pray.
Amen. That's so true. Good stuff. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. Are you catching the practical and the spiritual in this whole sharing time? God's changing lives spiritually, but the practical needs, he's meeting those needs. And he's doing that all over. Kathy.
Little shorty here. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful and thankful for the Lord, number one. And, you know, I'm just retired not too long ago. And I'm so grateful that, wow, the seasons of life are here. And here I am, you know, day by day, daily. You look at him and he has his, you know, his life in his, my life in his hands. And I adore him and love him. And that's the greatest thing, to have the joy of the Lord as your strength. And my mother-in-law in this season is still alive, 93 years old, and kind of focusing in on that, because what do I do in this season? And, you know, she came to our home and we had Thanksgiving already with her. But I'm so grateful that he gives us little assignments every season that pleases him. And he had the idea. And here she is. She can still walk. If you talked to her on the phone, you'd never know she was 93. It's unbelievable. She's a little German lady. But she's been through two wars. And it's just amazing. And then here's my daughter. She moved away. She lived near us so many years. And oh, Lord, she knows I've said this to her. I'll probably never see you again. There's a mother's heart, right? I was kind of disappointed. But all disappointments, like our pastor, I just love his teaching, because it's so simplistic, but it's true, and we have to apply it. Here she is, my granddaughter and her, came for the weekend with my husband and I. We've had a beautiful, beautiful hallelujah weekend. We went to the ocean and we had meals together. So God is good. He's more than good. So no fear, no fret, no doubt, and no worry. I'm not going to do it. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. We're going to take these last three, and that'll be the last three, or we'll be here till a long time. But this is good, isn't it? Didn't it encourage you? We'll go, okay, four. We got to. I can't turn down Bobby. How can I do that? So we're going to go Paul, and then John, and then Justice, and then Bobby will close us off. Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, praise God. I want to thank God for who he is and for the Holy Spirit who speaks to us. I'm here standing because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit and his prompting for me to stand here. First of all, I want to thank my wife, who has been so much loving and kind. I don't acknowledge that very often with her, but I want to thank God for giving her in my life. I want to thank God for my daughter and all the people in this church, the small group, the men's group, who are sowing the seeds of influence in my life through God. I want to thank everyone, and praise God. Amen.
Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Hold on, John. Hey, I didn't miss my little brother right there. I didn't see him standing behind one of the men. So we're going to count you too, okay? We're not going to skip you. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm going to make it shorter because he said everything I was going to say. Thank my family. Thank the men's group on Friday. And then I was sitting here earlier as you started speaking today, and I wanted to give thanks to you. The energy you have after doing this for as long as you've done it, every day seems like, man, this is the first day, and he's so excited to be here. So thanks for the way you deliver the message.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, so recently I was on vacation, and at the house I was staying at, there's this two-year-old, and I'm reading a book with her, and it's a book about, like, you put these band-aids on these wounds on these animals, And then, so you kiss the boo-boo or whatever. And so she would kiss the book. And it kind of, that reminds me of my own, like, kind of weakness, my wounds, like finances. I'm not really good at finances. And during that vacation, I was on the phone with my student loan collectors, and they were asking for a lot of money. I was like, ugh. And so I come back from vacation, and my boss pulls me in and says, into a meeting, just random, and says, hey, Justice, we would like to give you another promotion. And we are trying to give you, like, a significant bump, too. And it felt like God was like that two-year-old, he sees this little boo-boo and says, hi, Justice, you'll be okay. So.
Awesome. That's great.
I'm just thankful God lets us all experience everyday life. Life is so precious. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Good. Last try. Yep. There you go. There, our last champion right there.
I am thankful for my music class, and I am very thankful that on December 1st that I can just sing to lots of people on the street and give love and happiness, sing lots of Christmas carols. Yes, and I'm very thankful that I have to give lots of.
That's good.
I'm thankful, too, because all of you guys who have children, you know how you try to find, where does your kid fit in? And I've been praying about this for all of my kids forever. And I've been praying about this for David, and it turns out that this has been a good fit.
Yeah, awesome. Good job, David. Isn't that good? We need to do that often. And we need to thank God often. But how do we do it? Let's wrap this up this morning with how can we develop this? And I'm just going to just take a moment because our time is slipping by. But Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says this. Do not be anxious about anything. Let's say this together because we need to say this to ourselves. I think it's in your notes. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There's choice and God response in that passage. Number one, choose to avoid the anxiety. Anxiety happens. Problems happen. Stuff happens. We have to make a choice not to be overwhelmed by that. That passage says, don't be anxious about anything. Those things will come, but don't be anxious about it. Okay, that's a choice. Right now, what are you anxious about? What are those problems and those situations that you feel are insurmountable? That you feel are just, how am I going to get through this? Is there going to be a way around this obstacle? Well, we have an answer because we have a good God. First, I'm going to choose not to be anxious, but what I'm going to choose to do is to pray. Sometimes we say, well, you know, the least I can do is pray. No, 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 no. The most you can do is pray. That's the most important thing you do. As you pray, you work out the other stuff. But let me guarantee you, when you pray, the other stuff works out a lot smoother than it would have if you didn't pray. You can go ahead and work your just self, you know, to death. Scripture even says the laborers labor in vain unless the Lord builds the house. Unless the Lord's in the situation, go ahead and knock yourself out. But as you pray, so don't be anxious. Not going to help you. Stress never does. Worry never does. You just beat yourself up. But pray, but there's a way to pray. Number three, pray with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Present your requests. Present the situation. With thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Be thankful as you pray. God, and I've prayed this way many times. God, I don't know what there is to be thankful about this, But I know you're working, and I'm going to choose to be thankful anyway because you're God. You're good. You made me. I'm yours. Your love endures forever. Your faithfulness extends beyond the generations. I'm going to choose to be thankful. Am I perfect at that? Not on your life. Those moments of just come in and it's just you lose it. But to practice, and it's a choice. Thanksgiving is a learned behavior. Oh, I know people that are just naturally joyful. Well, then you don't know them very well. You haven't seen them in their private moments. You haven't seen them when nobody's looking. Be thankful. It's a learned behavior. And number four, just take this vitamin. Studies have even said that a thankful heart is better than a multivitamin. It affects your spirit, your emotions, where a vitamin doesn't touch that. And so let's call this our 2-minute Thanksgiving vitamin. Okay, every day when you take your vitamins, and you should to be a good boy and good girl, take your vitamins. Take a spiritual vitamin as well. Take just 2-minute vitamin and say, I'm going to praise God for what I have, not for what I don't have. What do I have to be thankful for? I'm going to praise God for what he has done. Because what God has done, God can do. What God has done, he's shown you that he's with you. What has God done in my life? That gives me confidence for today. And I'm going to praise God for where he has put me. I'm going to praise God for where he has put me. If you take that 2-minute vitamin every day, wake up, start your day, say, God, I'm going to praise you for what I have. And start to focus on, what do I have? You wake up and you find that there's a roof over your head. Sadly, some people in our state right now don't have that. Well, they're going to praise God for something a little different then. You praise God for the clothing that you're putting on your body. You're praising God for the food you get as you open the fridge. You're praising God for the car you jump into. And as you're driving to work, you're praising God that you have the health to do that. As you arrive at work, you praise God for the work that you're able to do to earn the income. You can praise God all day long if you're focused. Praise God for what you have. Praise God for what he has done. Remember the stories. Remember, God is always telling us, remember, remember, remember. In the Old Testament, build an altar, build an altar, build an altar, so we won't forget. What has he done? Those are the things he's still doing. Praise God for where he's put you. Is it a great place? No. Romans 5, James 1 tells us plainly, there are going to be trials, but consider it joy. Because he's doing something in your life where he has you. And God has you where he has you because that's the best place for you to become more like him. That's why he has you there. God, why am I in this terrible situation? And God whispers, because in that situation, that's the best place for me to refine you to be more like me. There's always something to praise God for. Always. Let me wrap it up with Chuck Swindoll's statement. It's a great statement. He writes, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It is more important than the past, than education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people think, say, or do. It is more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill. It will make or break a company, a church, or a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We cannot change our past. We cannot change the fact that people will act in a certain way. We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I am convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it. And so it is with you. We are in charge of our attitudes. This season, let's have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word and your truth. Lord, help us today. Help us today, God, to realize that you are God. You made us. We are yours. You're good. Your love endures forever. Your faithfulness extends beyond the generations. Therefore, we can shout for joy. We can worship you. We can come before you with singing. We can enter your courts with praise and with thanksgiving. Because God, what we have is surely praiseworthy. We can praise you for the blessing instead of the pain. We can look at every situation and evaluate it and find there's God and there's good in everything. Help us, Lord, to take the 2-minute vitamin every day and watch how our attitude changes and watch how you work in a mighty way. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to ask if there are people here that would say, I really needed that today because I've been struggling. And now I know that even in the midst of my pain, that I can be thankful. The situation is hard, but I know God is God. And I would just like to acknowledge that and pray that through. If you just slip up your hand and say, that's me today. And I want to choose to give thanks. Yeah, all over. Thank you. All over. Praise God. All over. Let's take the 2-minute vitamin. No matter what I'm going through, God is good. God is good. Can we stand together? Let's just stand and rejoice. I don't know, Sean, if there's a rejoicing song. It doesn't have to be fast, but rejoicing. You got it. Okay, he's already set up. We can sing rejoicing. It doesn't have to be hopping around. It can still be rejoicing. But can we just lift our voices and say, thank you, God, for what you have done. And then watch. Monday will come. Take your 2-minute vitamin on Monday and thank him again. And thank him again. And thank him again. And watch your attitude be more like Jesus's. Praise his name.
Sing us. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh Lord, I bring this offering to you. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh Lord, I bring this offering. Let's sing this one last time. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I say. Jesus, may you receive the honor that's your due. Oh Lord, I bring this offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring this offering to you. God, we bring this offering of worship, praise to you. Pray, Lord, God, that the people in this valley, Father, that they would know who you are by the love that we have one for another, for those who are around us. This can be sometimes a really stressful time, folks in this area and all throughout the United States. God, help us to be loving, kind, and thankful. Because we know who you are and what you've done for us. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Prayer part.
Please see our website at www.alagonline.com. That's www.alagonline.com. Or you can call us at area code 408-252-2668. Our address is 10,100 North Selling Road, Cupertino, California.